There are two reasons, however, for rendering such service, which transcend in importance all the others. Namely, first, by establishing a reputation as being a person who always renders more service and better service than that for which you are paid, you will benefit by comparison with those around you who do not render such service. And the contrast will be so noticeable that there will be keen competition for your services, no matter what your life work may be. It would be an insult to your intelligence to offer proof of the soundness of this statement, because it is obviously sound. Whether you are preaching sermons, practicing law, writing books, teaching school, or digging ditches, you will become more valuable, and you will be able to command greater pay the minute you gain recognition as a person who does more than that for which he is paid. Second, by far the most important reason why you should render more service than that for which you are paid, a reason that is basic and fundamental in nature, may be described in this way. Suppose that you wished to develop a strong right arm, and suppose that you tried to do so by tying the arm to your side with a rope, thus taking it out of use and giving it a long rest. Would disuse bring strength, or would it bring atrophy and weakness, resulting finally in your being compelled to have the arm removed? You know that if you wished a strong right arm, you could develop such an arm only by giving it the hardest sort of use. Take a look at the arm of a blacksmith if you wish to know how an arm may be made strong. Out of resistance comes strength. The strongest oak tree of the forest is not the one that is protected from the storm and hidden from the sun, but it is the one that stands in the open, where it is compelled to struggle for its existence against the winds and rains and the scorching sun. It is through the operation of one of nature's unvarying laws that struggle and resistance develop strength. And the purpose of this lesson is to show you how to harness this law, and so use it that it will aid in your struggle for success. By performing more service and better service than that for which you are paid, you not only exercise your service-rendering qualities and thereby develop skill and ability of an extraordinary sort, but you build reputation that is valuable. If you form the habit of rendering such service, you will become so adept in your work that you can command greater remuneration than those who do not perform such service. You will eventually develop sufficient strength to enable you to remove yourself from any undesirable station in life, and no one can or will desire to stop you. If you are an employee, you can make yourself so valuable through this habit of performing more service than that for which you are paid, that you can practically set your own wages and no sensible employer will try to stop you. If your employer should be so unfortunate as to try to withhold from you the compensation to which you are entitled, this will not long remain as a handicap, because other employers will discover this unusual quality and offer you employment. The very fact that most people are rendering as little service as they can possibly get by with serves as an advantage to all who are rendering more service than that for which they are paid, because it enables all who do this to profit by comparison. You can get by if you render as little service as possible, but that is all you will get. And when work is slack and retrenchment sets in, you will be one of the first to be dismissed. For more than 25 years, I have carefully studied men with the object of ascertaining why some achieve noteworthy success, while others with just as much ability do not get ahead. And it seems significant that every person whom I have observed applying this principle of rendering more service than that for which he is paid was holding a better position and receiving more pay than those who merely performed sufficient service to get by with. Personally, I never received a promotion in my life that I could not trace directly to recognition that I had gained by rendering more service and better service than that for which I was paid. I am stressing the importance of making this principle a habit as a means of enabling an employee to promote himself to a higher position with greater pay, for the reason that this course will be studied by thousands of young men and young women who work for others. However, the principle applies to the employer or to the professional man or woman just the same as to the employee. Observance of this principle brings a twofold reward. First, it brings the reward of greater material gain than that enjoyed by those who do not observe it. And second, it brings that reward of happiness and satisfaction which come only to those who render such service. If you receive no pay except that which comes in your pay envelope, you are underpaid, no matter how much money that envelope contains. My wife has just returned from the public library with a book for me to read. The book is entitled Observation, Every Man His Own University, by Russell H. Conwell. By chance, I opened this book at the beginning of the chapter entitled Every Man's University, and as I read it through, my first impulse was to recommend that you go to the public library and read the entire book. But upon second thought, I will not do this. Instead, I will recommend that you purchase the book and read it not once, but 100 times, because it covers the subject of this lesson as though it had been written for that purpose, covers it in a far more impressive manner than I could do it. The following quotation from the chapter entitled Every Man's University will give you an idea of the golden nugget of truth to be found throughout the book. The intellect can be made to look far beyond the range of what men and women ordinarily see. But not all the colleges in the world can alone confer this power. This is the reward of self-culture. Each must acquire it for himself. And perhaps this is why the power of observing deeply and widely is so much oftener found in those men and those women who have never crossed the threshold of any college but the University of Hard Knocks. Read that book as part of this lesson because it will prepare you to profit by the philosophy and psychology upon which the lesson is built. We will now analyze the law upon which this entire lesson is founded, namely, the law of increasing returns.